Dan asked me this morning if there were any specific songs to sing in connection with today's sermon, so I said all the songs about head covering. And then I said it's actually a lesson about studying and thinking through the Bible, so he sang more appropriate songs than all the songs that we have about hats and hair in the Bible. But I do want to look at this. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we are studying through 1 Corinthians, and we are just about to get into chapter 11. And I asked my wife, what do you think? Am I going to, you know, teach through the idea and talk about what the chapter's about, or are we going to slow down and talk about this other thing that's in the chapter? And she said that there had been some ladies talking about the question of the head covering at one of the recent ladies' studies, and they were wondering about maybe doing that as a study. This doesn't necessarily say I'm doing it for you, but I thought, all right, well, let's do some more with it. And this is one of the reasons I like Sunday evening sermons are completely different from Sunday morning sermons. This is not a good Sunday morning sermon. But on Sunday night, it's still going to be me talking and y'all being quiet, listening to me. I'm not changing anything about that. But it's going to be more of a lecture format through kind of a class. It's going to supplement what we're doing in the Bible class so that when we get back into it, we can talk about, quite honestly, what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is about. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first 16 verses, is not about something on your head. That's not what it's about. It's about who we are in connection with each other and God. But then there's this question that shows up. And if we start arguing about twigs, ignoring the forest, let alone the trees, we're going to get ourselves wrapped up in some complicated things. But there are some complicated questions about this subject. And so, you know, it's not just something that you want to disregard and forget about. So it's kind of a delicate idea. Is it something I want to study or I don't want to study or that you want to study? Quite honestly, when I was handing out handouts that were stapled together and then you saw it was about the head covering, I think everyone felt the same way I did about this lesson tonight. But what I really want it to be more about is, I'm going to put these are some of the ways that people look at this subject, but I really want to talk about the idea of how are we reading and studying the Bible? My theme verse for this is the last verse in this section. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Now, there's a lot of contention about that verse, I'll be honest with you, but I believe that the no such practice is referring to contentiousness. If y'all want to fuss about it, we don't do that at church. And that's really what I want this study to be about. And I'll talk about what that verse might mean as well to other people. But here's the idea. As we're thinking about reading and applying the Bible, so this is going to be taking that as a thought process and actually trying to do it, God did not zap information into our heads. He didn't even do that with the prophets. He gave them visions, and some of the times you get the impression that the prophets had no real clue what those visions even meant. He didn't just go, pow, here is the information. He gave us words. And words have meaning, and some words have multiple meanings, and some sentences are changed by inflection and nuance. And we take these words, the word of God, that has no problem in it, and I try to get it into my mind, and that's when the problems may happen. It's not guaranteed we're going to have problems, but when we read it or when we hear it, we may have mistakes. And this doesn't surprise Jesus. That's why he spoke in parables. Parables are specifically designed to be both easy to understand as well as a little bit hazy so that people won't understand them and ignore them. And that's one of the interesting things about parables. And that doesn't mean that God is rude or a jerk, because Jesus says, this is why I'm talking this way. So when he's saying, this is complicated, and you might get confused, that means he knows about it. It doesn't surprise God. He didn't give us the Bible and go, what happened? He gave us the Bible, and like Jonathan was talking about this morning, if there's a prophet that's out there who's teaching the wrong thing, it's kind of a test. Are we going to work through this? The other thing is, God believes that we can understand it. Sometimes understanding comes from a lot of readings. Sometimes understanding comes very quickly. But Paul says, when you read this, you can perceive. And so that's what we need to think about. God knows it can be difficult, but God knows that we can do it. So I want to read through chapter 11, starting in verse 2. I think that verse 1 is connected to the previous chapter, and I think a lot of the newer Bible translations are putting the paragraph break that way. So I'm going to read 2 through 16. Now I commend you, because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is her husband, or every... ESV is already putting some stuff in here. I'm going to read wife here and try to get it translated to woman elsewhere, because this is, again, one of the things that can lead to some confusing understandings here. Let me start over in verse 3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if she were shaven. For if a woman will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it's disgraceful for a woman to have her hair to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but a woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. And that is why a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from God. Judge you for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. See, it's so clear. I think I know what I think when I'm reading through this, and I'm still having a hard time reading it aloud. Something that I'm not even including in this lesson is the fact that there is no Greek word for wife or husband. It's wife and woman. It's the same word, and the context tells you which it is. And I think sometimes interjecting wife and sometimes interjecting woman here makes it a little bit confusing. So that's why I was trying to keep it at woman the whole time. Since I had to do the math in my mind while I was reading it, I was getting really tongue-tied. Okay, so the context of these verses is in this broader discussion about things, foods offered to idols. I believe he's still talking about some of those issues. And in our Bible class, we talked about, it wasn't just about the idols, but how am I going to react to that object in relation to the people around me? Will I eat it to destroy you? As well as we got into in our Bible class this morning, what about the fact that idols are nothing, but there might be something demonic behind that? And am I communing with demons in that? So there's lots of communion and connection with others here. And this is in the context of a letter which says, y'all need to be of the same mind, and you've got divisions. And so rather than being united, there is this division. And the main point in these verses is roles and headship and order and submission and authority. And I think that information, right, the up and down information, is going to help them in their interactions with each other and their interactions with God. That's what the paragraph is about. That's not what this sermon's going to be about. We'll do that in Bible class. We'll get into that discussion then. We might want to think about the context of Corinth and that day. And here is the not-quite-historian nor theologian Dan, who says, despite what people tell you, we have very little information to go on. Oh, and that day there was this head-shaving thing, and there was this hat thing, and there was this... When we have information from this time period, we are talking about 2 or 3 or 4 or at most a dozen documents in a range of 100 or 300 years. And so if you get a document about what is cool to wear in the year 1991, does that tell you what Americans wear in the 20th century and the 21st century, right? And it might be an outlier. So that is helpful information, But the context of the society is just so limited in what we can get from it. I don't think you should disregard it, but Paul doesn't give us much of the context himself. So I think that that's something to think about. So what do? We work on discernment. We work on thinking and figuring out. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Or in Ephesians 5:10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Discernment means we've figured it out, but it also means that we have been working to understand. So we come across a paragraph that is complicated, and we work at it, and we get sweaty in our heads because we're thinking about it. And I have an idea, and you have an idea, and it's not the same idea. And so we kind of figure it out, and we wrestle with it. And that's discernment, and that's exhausting. But be patient. Isn't God? Didn't Jesus, who came down, who spoke in parables that were a little bit confusing, take the time to explain those parables? Or in James chapter 4, 6 through 8, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. And so if we have a complicated paragraph or book, and we are working on it, and we are trying to discern the will of the Lord, what does God like? What does God want? And we are doing it in a way where we are trying to draw near to God. What's God going to do?
Good luck, guys.
No, that's not what he does. It's not some deist wound up the clock and set the world spinning and just look at us living in chaos. There is some way that God is going to help us, and he's going to help us with his word and understanding his word. So we read through these verses. I'm not going to read through them all again. I found a picture of a lady, I don't know if it's a Bible, let's pretend it's a Bible, and she had a thing on her head, and I thought that that was kind of fun. All right, it opens up talking about that they are remembering these traditions that were delivered. We see that in verse 2, but he wants them to understand something about headship and roles and authority. And so while they have something, there's this but you need to know this. And that seems like there's a bit of contrast there. You've got something, but you're missing something. And so he talks about that headship and what it's about and what it's going to be. It's going to be Christ, God and Christ and man and the woman. And there's this order. And he's essentially going back to the creation. He refers to the creation in here. And he's talking about these ideas and symbols that are connected to that, this thing that is on the head that is connected to authority in there. And he starts saying things that make women seem pretty weak and little. It's the man over the woman and the man over the woman. But then he has the statement in 11 and 12, but the woman isn't independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. I think it's just this really interesting idea. There might be headship and role, but there will be. So that means the man in these verses is above the woman. But without woman, you ain't got no men. And so there is this interrelationship here. And so while roles makes people feel uncomfortable sometimes, being lower down on that role doesn't mean there is nothing connected to you or you have no value to be putting in on this. And then he ends in the last few verses talking about some more, how these symbols are connected to some examples. Judge for yourselves. Doesn't even nature say the same thing? And then he has this contentiousness is not a part of Christianity. And so I'm just saying that this is my view of what he's talking about. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. And he is writing to a big pack of contentious people. I am of, and you are of, and we're going to duke it out, and I don't think Paul's got it, and I do think Paul's got it, and there are all these different I'm building of this, and I'm building that, and there's all this stuff going on, all this strife and division and puffing up. Look at how he ends the next section. He's going to do 12, 13, 14, right? The end of 14, looking at verse 36. I think there's a lot of sarcasm here in verse 36. Or was it from you that the word of God came? That's a sarcastic question. Is it from you that the word of God came, or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things that I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. And then he repeats back into that instruction. He's saying here, and Paul can say this about himself, Dan cannot say this about himself. You listen to me, and if you're going to fight about this, you're wrong. Just flat out wrong. And here, I think he's saying, the desire to fight about these sorts of things is wrong in and of itself. So that's kind of what's going on in here. Now we're going to talk about some of the interpretations. There's this idea in verse 4, a man who prays or prophesies with his head covered, and a woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered. And so we got to figure out what's the cover? What's going on here? And there's four different kinds of ways that people look at it. Sometimes they even mix up some of these ideas. There is a natural covering. Most people, actually all human beings, have hair sprouting out all over their body, right? It's just some of it's beautiful and some of it's not as beautiful. And so we've all got, I'll use the word all loosely, some of us more than others. We all have hair. And so the idea is there is a natural covering on the head. But do we need to put an extra covering, an artificial covering? I think if you made a wig out of natural hair, it's still an artificial covering. But there's so many ways of introducing complicated ideas here, right? So do we need an artificial covering? Is this problem some local thing that was going on there? And he's talking about something local. And so since we're not local to that time or that area, the question doesn't necessarily apply to us. And there's also a way of saying this is not local to the time and area, but this is local to the concept of working with spiritual gifts, chapters 12, 13, and 14. And once the time of the spiritual gifts has ended, this issue will end along with it. So there's some different ways of looking at that, and we're going to consider some of these. I think that these are both ladies, and one has a natural covering and one has an unnatural covering, artificial covering. Maybe I got the picture right. Man, some of these medieval pictures are hard to interpret. That's why I love them so much. Talking about the natural covering, that we have hair and that hair is the idea, I think that, no pun intended, this is a very natural reading. I place a lot of weight in the fact of if I can take the Bible to middle school students and they can tell me what those words and sentences mean, then there is a very good chance that that's the meaning. Because they don't have the baggage that we do. They don't know about other problems or mistakes. Sometimes the grammar is too complicated and a middle school kid can't figure it out, and that's understandable. But to me, when I read through verses 14 and 15, doesn't nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it's a disgrace to him, for him, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her for a covering. To me, that is a very clear and natural reading, that the hair is the natural covering, and that's what he's talking about in this paragraph. I think I think verse 15 is very clear and helpful for that. The fact that it's the end of the discussion, it might not be the concluding point, but it is one of the last things he says, so to me that lends towards that idea. And also the phrase, it is given to her. Who did the giving? So I think that this goes back to the original making of woman and that God made her a way and had this long hair. You can see the pictures. She had long hair back in the garden. And that she has this long, that giving by God seems to be we don't know the pictures, right? But this seems to say that was the case, this long hair idea. And so there's something natural in the way God gave this as a covering in that sense. Also, if you jump back to 5 and 6, this isn't as clear in my mind as 14 and 15, but it says, every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it's the same as if her head were shaved. And verse 6 continues that. If your head is uncovered, it's like you're shaved. It's like if you don't have this really long hair, if your hair is kind of short, then it's as if you're shaved. So to me, that's this natural reading there, that this longer hair is this thing that the woman was given back in the garden, and it is a natural way of things and customs and ideas and changes go and different lengths and all that. But to me, this is a very natural reading and understanding of this. Then there is we need to have something else. yes, hair, and we can see that long hair is a very natural thing in the world, but there's different ideas, and this is a different topic, and Paul is saying that you need something extra. And when you read verses 5 and 6, there is a very natural reading there that comes out of these verses that says an artificial covering is needed. But everyone who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it's the same as if her head was shaved. You cannot have an uncovered head. You need to put something on your head on top of your hair. That is a very natural reading. Yes, I know what I just did. I just said that 5 and 6 naturally in my mind tends toward the length and longness of hair. I also just said that 5 and 6 naturally lends itself to putting something on the head. I believe that both of those readings feel natural. I have an opinion about which one I like, and you know, I'll get into that. But my opinion is different from what some other people say. So when you say natural reading, sometimes the natural reading is complicated. You can naturally go in a couple different directions. This just means we've got to work at it. Don't throw up your hands and be angry with God. We have to work at things. Are you going to take the time to think about God's word and work on these things? I can think two opposite opinions about 5 and 6. And that doesn't mean I'm really great. Ooh, look at me. I can think of two. That makes things complicated to me. I'm not happy that I can think of two opposite ideas. Have you read through the Bible and found a verse that sounds like a denominational teaching that you know is wrong based on other passages in the Bible? We often do this. Those verses have to be out there, or otherwise, where would these denominational false teachings get their ideas? And so we have to work on it all together. One option is opening up all the other passages in the Bible about the head covering and long hair. We just did it and finished that job, right? We just read everything else in the Bible. That's another thing that makes this paragraph complicated. There's a very limited amount of things to look at. All right, so then there's this idea about this local customs. We've got a map of some of the area there. There was a Corinthian custom. So it doesn't apply to us, is this idea. So I've got Corinth kind of circled in purple. But it might have been an Achaean custom, or a Greek custom, or a Northern Mediterranean. How big are we going to draw the circles? How small are we going to draw the circles? When we argue that way, our opinions and ideas about customs are kind of fickle. And we have to be very, in my mind, we have to be very careful when we are talking about these kinds of things. For instance, we have a whole bunch of modern-day customs about wearing an extra or artificial covering over the hair between different religious sects and different religions, or even among our sisters and brothers from other areas of this country or in other countries. And so we have local customs that we're dealing with. The Amish and the Mennonites, and our Nigerian sisters and brothers, when they come to the United States, the women are still wearing their coverings. There's a lot of this that we have to be careful about. And so just saying local, to me, doesn't work well. I didn't include this in my slides, so I want to do this really quick before I forget. A strong argument that this is custom is in verse 2, I commend you because you remember me in everything, verse 3, but now I want you to understand. So they are doing a good job, but now I want you to understand this local issue, verse 16, and if everyone wants to fight about it, we don't have any such local issue, nor do the churches of God. This is a local custom argument runs as this, I think, I'm trying to get it right. Y'all are doing a good job, verse 2. But let's talk about this topic that's local to you, verses 3 through 15. Now in verse 16, if anyone wants to get ornery about it, this local issue has nothing to do with the churches of God, so don't fight about it. That's another way of looking at that argument. I know I'm just flying through these. Hopefully no one's going to fall asleep in the window. I want to keep it from being a super long sermon. There's also the idea that this is talking about the time and the use and the activity of spiritual gifts. Verse 4, every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And you jump over, the next chapter begins talking about spiritual gifts. And in chapter 14, the praying and the prophesying, those activities are there. We do know that there were females who prophesied. And so the idea here, if you look at verse 10, that is why a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. We're not talking about the angels in this lesson. I might not even talk about it next week. But that they need this symbol of authority on her head so that the female prophetess, when she is going to speak, is going to do it properly. She will have this covering on, and that's the right way to do it. But since we aren't interacting with the spiritual gifts times, the nuts and bolts of it will not apply to us. But that's one of the ideas. Okay. So now I want to look at some of the words and some of the ideas in the text. What is hair? The second word up there, which is, I think it's pronounced thrits, that means hair. It means hair. And so when it describes in Mark chapter 1, verse 6, that somebody was wearing a garment made of camel's hair, it was camel's thrits. But in verses 14 and 15, the common word for hair is not used, and the word kamao, which literally means long, lengthened, or having let the hair grow, hair. It only shows up a couple times right here in this discussion. And so Paul is not using hair, but long hair. So it's not two words in English. It is a word that meant length. It implied that concept. So that's an important thing to consider. But even if, everybody in the room agrees that it's natural covering, it's just the hair, we have something to fight about. No, we don't. We're not going to fight about it. But what does long mean? Right? Even culturally. And different skin tones of people, length of hair is going to show up in different ways. So just even if we get it all nailed down and this is the thing and this is what it means, there are still opportunities for there to be challenges. My point isn't to make it all seem terrible, but to point out we have got to work with God's word and wrestle with it and try to figure out, like he said back in chapter 8, what am I going to do to make things work between my brothers and sisters and me? Then we have this word cover, and it's all coming from a preposition. It's kata. Kata shows up in verse 4, and then in verses 5 and 13, kata kalupto, and in verses 6 and 7, there's the negative, a kata kalupto. And so there's like to be covered and to be uncovered is this word. But it's really interesting. It begins with this very simple preposition, not a noun, not a thing, not an activity, but this, it's almost worded quite literally in verse 4. I'll read it first in the Bible here. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. It can read having down from his head. We want a word, that pause, having down from his head. In English, we want something, but in Greek, they didn't need something there. So it's a man who is praying or prophesying with his head, with something down from his head. So it's a preposition. It's an awkward sentence. But when you start looking at the different words here, to cover up or to come down from the head or to not be covered, in Greek, it's very much, it's describing that which is coming down, being down, down and around. When we use the word veil as an object and you wear this veil and it comes down and around, in English, the word veil, I think in my mind, strongly indicates a thing, an extra thing. But the Greek word doesn't necessitate that. Hairs that are coming down and off and down and around can very easily veil and cover as well. And so that's an idea there in that word cover. It's not an object, but it's almost like this process of covering. And then in verse 15, there is one more word. In verse 15, it says, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. It's a completely different word. It means peri something, y'all don't care. That is a covering that wraps around. It's a mantle. It's a veil. When I was looking, I used a lot of Jeff's notes for the Greek here, and I tried to pick an Old Testament. It's Greek translation of the Old Testament. Of course, I picked one that was gross about, you know, fat covering the entrails. That's what I wanted to make you guys think about. But when you're taking the things out and the fat is covering, it's this natural object that is there. The word doesn't imply putting a covering onto the bits that you're taking out of this ram, but rather when you're taking the bits out of the ram, there is this part of it that is there and connected with it. But now I'm going to introduce a complication here. This word covering in verse 15 that is absolutely connected to the lady's long hair is a new word. And so one interpretation is this is an additional descriptor alongside the previous ideas. Kata this, kata that, as well as peri this. Here's another word that means the same idea. Or a person could read, this is a different idea. It's a new word, so it's a different idea, and so the hair fits only with this new idea. That's a strong argument against natural hair, even though I would argue from the same verse that it's a strong argument for the natural hair. I'm going to do this a bunch. I can argue two sides of the coin on a lot of these verses. And I'm happy to spend some more time in discussion and in our Bible class where we can talk about some of these backs and forths. My point is, we need to read and think about these sorts of things. There's the word authority. The woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. Some people say that authority is now the authority to speak aloud. And some people say that authority is on her head and she is submissive to it. Those are essentially two opposite views of that single word, authority. We don't have this practice, that contentiousness. Some people argue that if people are going to fight about this covering, the covering isn't one of our practices, don't fight about it. That's the local context argument. I believe fighting is a practice that we don't have in the church. So there's a lot of verses, a lot of words in here that I think can have some different interpretations. I have some thoughts, and I have what I believe that this passage says, and I think almost everybody in here has thought about it before and has a good understanding in their own mind about what it says. I don't think I'm stressing us out. This is very much a Sunday night sermon and a Sunday night crowd. You're used to reading and thinking about the Bible. But I think it's important to realize that there are some different ideas that we need to wrestle with so that when somebody has an idea, we don't smash them upside the head with the Bible. We need to figure out how do we understand what they're saying. So here's some of Dan's thoughts. If the context is the idea of spiritual gifts and a woman has this thing to show that she now has the right and authority to prophesy and to speak aloud, to me, that doesn't really fit with one of the concluding thoughts that Paul has at the end of the next section, women need to keep silent. That doesn't seem to fit in my mind. I don't think, while it can be connected to spiritual gifts, I don't think that this spiritual gift argument holds as much weight as some people do. And so I don't agree with that one as much. I don't really like to argue local customs because I don't think you need to have Thucydides in hand knowing the local time and era in order to understand God. Now, if you have histories and cultural studies, you may be able to understand some things better. But if you hand someone a Bible, they have enough. At least that's what I believe. And if a doctrine relies on outside ideas for it to work, that's shaky ground in my understanding. And so I don't think it's just, this is a local thing. If it was that local, I don't know if it would have been included in the Bible. There's a lot of letters that we find out were written in the Bible that we don't have included with the Bible, and they might have been about local things. But that's my opinion. The Bible doesn't say don't read history books. I was getting some notes from a friend of mine, and this is, I'm not going to say who it is, because that might seem rude, but he had this line talking about verses 5 and 6, clearly talking about artificial versus natural. And I thought, well, no, I don't think it clearly says that. And so I can find charges with that. But the guy whose notes I was reading at, I'm getting his notes not because he's a dummy. Ooh, I want to get someone who doesn't know what he's talking about so I can bash his ideas. If I want to do that, I'd tell you whose notes I was getting. No, I respect him. I knew that we disagreed, and I wanted his notes so I could represent some of these ideas more clearly to you. But when he said, it's clearly this, I thought, I don't think it's clearly that. It can be, but I can just as clearly say something else. So we have to be careful when we save those sorts of things. I believe that there is a difference between long hair and short hair. I think we all believe that. I also believe that there are various stages between long and short. This, for instance, is between this and this. And so a woman who has hair down to the ground and a woman who has her head shaved or a woman who has her hair down to her shoulders, those are three different lengths. It's not just on, off. And so I think that we can have some discussion between long and shorter and then shorn like a sheep or shaved bald. I really think that the natural covering, that the hair growing from the head is a natural covering. It fits with those Greek words, the kata word and the peri word, and you can look up those words if you want, especially since the one of them is very much talking about long hair, just long hair, not short hair at all. And long hair seems to be something that was given by God right around the same time he was giving the headship. And those are natural concepts in this world, which is not to say that everyone gets it. Not everyone in the world gets the natural headship between God and Christ, a man and woman. And not everyone in the world, across the world, has the same ideas about what the word long hair means. Some people think it needs to be this long, and some people think it can be this long. And so there's going to be some differences there, but I think that these are natural ideas and that this is a natural reading. So if you want to know what Dan likes as an understanding of this passage, Dan likes the natural hair that grows out of your head being long, and then we got to figure out how long is long, but that's what I think it means. We could talk about some of the specifics later. Concluding thoughts. Because that wasn't the conclusion. I taught a lot of middle school. And I often have a pack of boys. And rule one is don't be jerks. It covers so many things. You don't want people treating you that way. You don't want to laugh at a neighbor's joke when somebody's doing a presentation. And that person doing a presentation thinks you're laughing at them. That's how I explained it to the middle schoolers. You don't want to be, that would be accidental. You didn't mean to hurt their feelings. You don't want to do that, do you? You don't want to be mean. You don't want to be ugly. And that's really the rule that we need to have in mind when we're studying God's word. Without humility, you will learn nothing. You will only know what you already know. You won't hear people speaking to you. You'll just be waiting for them to take a breath so that you can fight back. And that's not what we do as Christians. We have no such practice. And we need to listen with an open heart. And that's not easy because things might be uncomfortable. I don't know if I agree with that. Things might be confusing. I don't know if I understand that. And sometimes you're going to read through a verse and you might say, I can see almost 50-50. It means this or this. And those are complicated moments. But we need to rest on love being the primary thing here. Our knowledge is just going to puff us up. But love is going to build us up. And so while I'm reading through this paragraph, even still, every time I read through this paragraph, at the beginning of the paragraph, I think, wow, I might be changing my mind. I might think it's an artificial thing that you stick on your head. By the time I get to the end of the paragraph, I go, no, I still think it's the natural hair that grows out again. And I do that every time I read it. And here I am trying to tell you what I think. And every time I read it, I think multiple things. But that's okay. That's okay. God is really gracious. God loves us, and he's trying to help us out. He might give us complicated things, but he's going to help us out. Let's close by looking at a little bit of Psalm 119. I like the way the author here talks about not just, I know God's law and it makes me great, which he says very often in this psalm, but there is this concept of meditation and considering. So Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy words have I laid up in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There is a repeated refrain of not just meditation and thinking back or not forgetting, but seeking and considering ways and these paths of walking and understanding. The psalmist here is talking about not, I read a fact and I know the fact, but I'm reading the law and I'm considering the law and I'm pursuing the law and I don't want to stray from the law and I don't want to leave God's ways and I need God to teach them to me. That's one of the things he says, teach me your statutes. And so there is this interactive or growing or progressive sense in these verses that I think is really encouraging. We always say, every time I open up the Bible, it seems like I see something new. That's right. It continues to speak to us even when we know some of the thoughts already. And so we can wrestle with these complicated ideas and wrestle with how am I going to think about these complicated ideas as we interact with others. And that's exactly what we need to do. It's smack dab in the middle of a discussion of 8 through 11 saying, stop being jerks to each other. Stop hitting people over the head with what you're allowed to eat. And so we better be very careful that we don't hit each other upside the head about whether they have something on their head or not. We've got to be very careful about this as we consider it for ourselves and as we talk about it with each other. God's word is great. It's complicated and hard, but God's word is great. And if you're struggling, if you need understanding and wisdom, pray to God, and we'll pray with you. If you're struggling with sin, pray to God for wisdom and understanding, and let us know, and we will pray with you. If anyone here needs prayer tonight, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing?